Kingdom of these fingers.
We're spending a lot of time discussing the principles of Rov and the principles of Chazaka. Now we get to a sugya as to how these two principles relate to one another. So what do you do when you have a clash between the two? Rov points in one direction and Chazaka points in another direction. We mentioned at the very end of this year yesterday a little bit of this play down in terms of Dinei Mamonos. But back to the realm of Yisurim, what do? You have a child, you have a latest asafik. So the Torah gives us two different klalim. The Torah gives us the klal of Rov, Acharam Mahatos. The Torah gives us the klal of Chazaka, which we learned out from Baisa Menuga that we spoke about the Arichos earlier on. So now, if you plug in both of these parts of the equation, they come to different conclusions. So what do you do when you have a clash in a Rov and a Chazaka? So the Gemara in the very end of Masechet Kiddushin quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, which revolves around this very question. The particular shayla that Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan were discussing was as follows. If you have an Issa, you have a dough that has a cheskes tahara to it. We're assuming that it's tar. It was tar yesterday, it was tar a week ago. So we assume that it's tar. Now the problem is that you find a baby holding on to this dough. And the Gemara says that if the baby's holding on to this dough, there's an overwhelming rove that this dough became tame. Why do we assume the dough became tame? Because the baby is probably tame. We know for sure the baby's tame. The Gemara says rove, little kids are tame, because rove tinokos and batakon ba'ashpa. They play around in places where there are dead animals, dead mice, whatever, things like that. So the odds are that statistically it's pointing in the direction that it's probably, that the Issa probably became tame. So on the one hand we have a rove that the Issa became tame. On the other hand, Issa has a chazoka that used to be tahor. So what do? You have a clash between a rove and a chazoka. So the Gemara quotes it to Machleikas Satanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan say as follows, Rabbanan say that you have a rove. So when you have a rove, so forget the chazoka. Rubi the chazoka, rubi adif. The rove of the power is the chazoka. And therefore it's not even a suffix anymore. It's not even a suffix tumbush around anymore. The rove tells you that it's tohor, that it's coming, that there is vav, and finish, end of discussion. And Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says no, that rubi the chazoka. Is not necessarily Ruba Adif. Rabbi Meir uses the following lashon. Rabbi Meir says that Miut command the Issa Dami, that the Miut, the small percentage, is the 10% chance that the Issa is still Tahar. So we mitzaref that 10% chance to the Chazaka, the Issum and Ruba, and the combination of the Miut and the Chazaka combined together, and that overpowers the Rove, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, so Ruba the Chazaka is love Ruba Adif, so we have rights to rely on the Chazaka, the Cheskes Tahara. So this Machlekes HaTanoim is clearly a Machlokes on the level of Deraisa, because according to Rabbi Meir, so we're going to be Matar the Issa, means we're saving the Issa. If it's true, we're going to eat the Issa. So clearly, Rabbi Meir holds on a love of their eyes, and the Chazaka beats out a rove. Whereas the Chachamim most probably disagree with Rabbi Meir on a love of their eyes also. But they hold that a rove beats out a Chazaka. So what's the Nekudas of Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Why should a rove, yes, beat out a Chazaka? Why should a rove not beat out a Chazaka? So the Gemara uses the lashon of Miut command the Issa Dami and Miut command the Leisa Dami. It means, how do we view when you have a situation of a rove? You have statistical chance that when 95% of the kids are really tummy, there's 95% chance it became tummy. There's a 5% outside chance that maybe it's still tar. So how do we relate to that mir? Do we say that the mir doesn't exist? That's what the Chachamim say. But the mir is command the lay. So once you have a rove, so that we totally, completely ignore the possibility of the 5%, and we don't add it into the equation anymore, we don't throw it into the chult anymore, that rove tells me with the Rezvada that this is has become tamir. That's the Chachamim's understanding of rove, that mir is command the lay, so dami. Whereas Rabbi Meir uses the opposite phrase. Rabbi Meir said that mir is command the isa dami, that just because the Torah says that you follow Rove, it doesn't mean that the Miut doesn't exist. It means you don't have to be concerned with it, but it's not negated, it's not blown out of the water. My nafkamina, that's not blown out of the water, if Lamaisi don't follow it. Rabbi Meir says the nafkamina is when it comes to join something else. Let's say you have some other kind of a cloud that's telling you what to do, which happens to be supporting the Miut and negating the Rove. So then Rabbi Meir says that it comes back to life, and it has a Tchis HaMeisim. So the Miut combines together with the Chazaka in order to overpower the Rove. Now you have 2-on-1. According to the Chacham, there is no 2-on-1. According to the Chacham, the Miut is gone. The Miut, is command Alei Sadami. But according to Rabbi Meir, the Miut is command Isadami, so the Miut can come back to life and join together with the Chazaka. Oh, so we're going to see. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that in a second. So this machlekes hatanoim is very, very tempting now to relate to some of the things that we spoke about in the past. So a bunch of shiurim ago, we spoke about the shmeitz and the shveger and all the gedolei acharonim to discuss what the nature of rov is and what the nature of chazok is. Is rov considered to be a biror? Is rov considered to be an anhaga? Is rov really pasken up that the Torah is vada, that we know that these are the facts? Or do we say that rov still leaves it hanging as a suffix? So we spoke about the shibukabetz from donetziat avav, that maisa, we spoke about something mamzer. So we spoke a lot about these things. Then when we came to chazok, we also spoke about these things. We spoke about chazok in situations of fact. At the sasran, we spoke about chazok in situations of trey adim. So we had riots back and forth and different opinions as to what the nature of rov is, what the nature of chazok is. So it's very tempting not to plug all that into this machlekes hatanoim to say that, you know what, that which we thought was a sheishmeitzer or a kivega or something may very well be a machlekes hatanoim. How do you view rov? What is the nature of rov? So the chachamim's understanding of rov, what is b'taras mevarer? So b'taras mevarer means that the mir is kemandaleis, it doesn't exist anymore. Whereas chazoka is most probably not b'taras biror, chazoka is b'taras anhaga. The nature of the din anhaga is when you have a latest asafek, then you follow the din anhaga. So now we understand the chachamim perfectly well. Why did the chachamim tell us that ruba v'chazaka ruba adif? Because rov is mevar the safek. Once it's mevar the safek doesn't exist. That lingo that we use, the safek doesn't exist, is the chacham, is the Gemara's lashon of miut kemandalei sedami. So the safek doesn't exist anymore. The miut is totally negated. So there's no safek. When there's no safek, so what are you going to follow chazaka for? Chazaka is a cloud that you follow. It's a din anhaga when you have a safek. When you have a rov pointing in one direction, that's not a safek anymore. That's the way the chachamim sized up the relationship between rov and chazaka. The reason, according to the chacham, rov the chazaka rabadif is dafka for this reason, because rov is b'taras bira, chazaka is b'taras anhaga. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, no, it's very different. According to Rabbi Meir, they're both din anhaga. That just because rov exists doesn't mean the mir is kemandalei lesa. It's a klal Torah. The Torah gives you a way. You're allowed to be noyeg. So now you have contradictions and how to be noyeg. So what do? So you have to add up all the possible klalim. So rov points in one direction, chazaka points in another direction, but the mir still exists. So the mir is still a remote possibility. So that gets tacked onto the side of chazaka. So it outweighs the rov. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, taka midaraisa, smoch bitl chazaka of isur laruba. So perhaps that's the beer in the machlekes hatanoim as well. So it was pointed out correctly, which is I was about to lead into this part, is that the way the Gemara presents the machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the end of Masechus Kiddushin is in a situation where you have a clash between a rov and a chazaka. What if there's no clash? What if you have no chazaka to speak of? What if you just have a shal of a rov? You have a rov and a mir. So then it's pretty clear that you follow rov. Doesn't everybody agree to that? Isn't there a din of a rav mahatos? For sure you follow rov. Rabbi Meir only disagreed with the Chachamim when there's chazaka on the side of the mir. If there's no chazaka, then the charish for sure follow rov. So the Gemara tells us that that's not exactly the case. The Gemara quotes another machlekes, lo and behold, between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, which is very much related to the first machlekes. And that's the machlekes whether chashidim lemiyuta or ein chashidim, lo chashidim lemiyuta. So many of you are going to be learning Maseches Gittin this year, so on the base of amazing Gittin, you're going to get into this a little bit. But the original machlekes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, was really a sugi Maseches Yevamos. The halacha is that when a person dies without any children, so his wife falls for a yibum lechalitza to the brother. And let's say, for example, the brother is under the age of Bar Mitzvah. So, under the age of Bar Mitzvah, so he cannot do chalitza, because the pasuk says, Im lo yachmatza ish, but in theory he would be able to do yibum. As long as he's over the age of 9, in theory he would be able to do yibum. Then they would live together, and according to most of the Rishonim, the yibum isn't totally chal until they actually turn Bar Mitzvah, but the ma'aseh would be mutter. Nikra din midarais, it should be mutter for the couple to go ahead and live together. So comes Rabbi Meir and says, no, we cannot permit this. We cannot let a katan do yibum, or for that matter, we cannot let a katana do yibum, because katan chashin shem asuris, or katana chashin shem ayonis. If there's an outside chance that this katan may be a suris, is somebody who doesn't physically develop in such a way, not that you just cannot have children, but there's something physically wrong with his body. He never really developed properly as a male, or an ayonis is a woman who never really physically developed properly as a woman. And as such, the halacha is that such individuals are not subject to the halacha of yibum and chalitza. There is no zika, there is no requirement of yibum and chalitza if either the man is a swiss or the yivama is an islandist. So whenever you do yibum and it turns out that it wasn't really a fulfillment of the mitzvah, then you're in serious trouble, because it turns out that you violated the yisur veishas ach shalobim up a mitzvah. You violated an issur kares. Normally to marry your brother's wife is an issur kares, but only when the Torah permits it, the Torah's mitzvah, then does it become a permissible. So Rabbi Meir,
what did he do wrong?
What did he do wrong? He was Boel, his Eish HaZachar Shlomo B'Machom Mitzvah.
And obviously he wasn't a Shris.
No. A Shris could still have Bia. A Shris could still have a nice Bia, but a Pia Loch is not developed properly as a male. So if this individual, this 10-year-old boy, goes ahead and he marries the Yavama, and now 5 years later he realizes that he's a Shris, so it's a terrible thing that happened here. We were just mad at Mr. Arias. So Rabbi Meir says we have to be concerned about that. Rabbi Meir says we cannot permit the 9-year-old boy to go ahead and do Yibum. Hashemah Yimsa Sphere. So we cannot let the little girl do Yibum. Hashemah Timsa Alanis. So the Chacham responded to Rabbi Meir, what are you talking about? How many people in the world are Sphirisim? 1/10% is a Sphiris. So you don't have to be Chayshish for that. How many people are Alanis? So you don't have to be Chayshish for that because Lo Chashinah Lemiyuta. To which Rabbi Meir responded, no, Chashinah Lemiyuta. So what is the Mekudas HaMachloikis between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham? So at least the way many Rishonim present, the way Tyson in the beginning of Masechus Chulin presents, the Machlokes is as follows. That there was a Lomdash Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, how to understand the nature of the din of Achir Rab Lahatos. Is Mir command to Esau, command to Leis? Again, based on the Lomdash that we said before, most probably. So Machlokes Tanoim, where the Mir is command to Esau, command to Leis. The only enough Kamina Midaraisa, where the Mir is command to Esau, command to Leis, is only enough Kamina if you have Chazaka on your side. Can you be Mitzvah the Mir to the Chazaka? If there is no Chazaka, present, it's purely a question of rove. So then, when it's just an issue of rove, so then the machlekes of the chum doesn't really apply in the love of the araisa. But nevertheless, midirabbanan, Rabbi Meir understood that since miut is command to isa, since on the love of the araisa, we can't close our eyes to the miut, we can't totally ignore the miut, we can't make believe the miut doesn't exist. So true, right now, it's not really going to affect us on the level of the araisa, but on the level of the rabbanan, it's going to affect us. That Rabbi Meir says that even in a situation where the chazaka is not combining together with the miut, chashirim the miuta, albeit only midrabbanan. That's how Tosfos presents. Not all the Rishonim agree with that Tosfos, but Tosfos presents that there's a double machlokes here between Rabbi Meir and the chachamim. There's a machlokes on the level of the araisa, and then there's a corollary machlokes on the level of the rabbanan. The original machlokes was on the level of the araisa, where the miut is command isa or command alaisa, which only has one nafkamina, namely in the presence of a chazaka. Then there was a secondary machlokes, which was meveh, which stems from that machlokes. That's on the level of the rabbanan. When there is no chazaka, then it's just pure question: should we be chayshish for miut or not? So Rabbi Meir says yes, chashir lemiut, and the Chum said then no, no chashir lemiut. How do we pass in halacha this machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the rabbanan, this double machlokes in effect? So mit arayis, of course, we follow the chachamim. That yochram locharam, of course, we follow the chachamim. Nevertheless, there is a machlokes of Rishonim based on a sugya that appears in Maseches Bechoros that perhaps maybe mit rabbanan at least we follow Rabbi Meir shita. At least when you have a chazaka present. What led some Rishonim to believe that we follow Rabbi Meir, at least partially? So there's a sugya in Maseches Bechoros that speaks about as follows. I have an animal, I bought an animal from a non-Jew. I have this animal, a female animal, and I have no idea whether it had a baby or not in the past. It's a 3-year-old animal, I don't know what its past history is. So the non-Jew is going to tell me the non-Jew doesn't have namanas. So why is that important? It's very important. If it had a baby already, then any subsequent baby that's going to be born is not a bechor. If it has yet to have a baby, so the firstborn, if it's going to be a male, will have kedushas bechor. So I have a latest asafik. I have no idea whether this animal had a baby or not. How am I going to tell whether it had a baby? So the Mishnah raises the following question. Let's say I notice that this animal happens to be nursing. This animal has milk. So is that an indication that it most probably had a baby? So we know, let's say, like a human being also. So if a woman producing milk, that means that she had a baby. So should we say that also by an animal? That if the fact that the animal is producing milk, that's a raya brew that everybody had a baby. So now if it becomes pregnant, has another baby in 2 years from now, we know that subsequent baby is not a bechor. So is cholav poiter, is cholav eino poiter? Is that a good sign or not? Is cholav a good enough indication that the mother probably had a previous birth? So that's a machlekes atanoim. So Rabbi Tam claims that we paskin lahalacha and cholav eino poiter. That's again also shalom to Rishonim, but Rabbi Tam claims that we paskin that cholav does not poiter. That's not a good enough proof that the mother already had a previous baby, and therefore any subsequent baby that would be born would be kaddish with the chor, at least be suffering. Why is cholav eino poiter? What's the svara of these tanoim? What's the svara of Rabbi Tam that cholav eino poiter? So Taisin Bechoros explains the svara is as follows: It's only a rove that most probably cholav is an indication that a woman had a baby, the animal had a baby. But it's possible; it is theoretically possible biologically to produce milk even if you didn't have a baby. First, the animal could have some kind of hormonal irregularity, and it could potentially produce milk even without having a baby. So it's a meal. It's not very common, but at least least it's a meal. So comes Rabbi Natan and explains, this animal has a cheskas that it's chayiv in Bechorah. Every animal that's born, every female animal that's born is the cheskas that it hasn't given birth yet. So the day it's born, it has not yet given birth. Then 6 months later, it's left given birth. 6 months later, it's left given birth. So every animal, every female in front of us is a chazaka that she's potentially going to be the mother of a Bechor. So now we have a clash between a rove and a chazaka. So rove is pointing in the direction that this female animal probably already was niftara. She probably already had a baby. Whereas the chazaka is pointing in the direction that it has not yet had a baby. So you have a classic clash between rove and chazaka. So what do you do? When you have a clash between rove and chazaka, what do you do? What do you do when you have a clash between rove and chazaka? Oh, shit. Oh. All right, a bargain on that. So what do you do when you have a clash between a rov and a chazaka? So comes Rabbi Natan and says, even though midaraisa, we all know we pass it like the chavim, that rov and chazaka is ruba adif, but midrabanan, we chashish from the mayor in a sense, that midrabanan, when you have a situation of a rov against the chazaka, so then we bring Rabbi Meir's shita back to life. So therefore, says Rabbi Natan, now again, not everybody agrees Rabbi Natan's chop, but says Rabbi Natan, therefore we pass in halacha that chalav is eno poter. And the reason is because on the level of the Rabbanan, Mechayshish Rabbi Meir. But even though Mechayshish Rabbi Meir on the level of the Rabbanan, that means that Mechayshish Rabbi Meir in the presence of a Chazaka. What if you have to stam a meal, which Rabbi Meir himself was only machim with the Rabbanan, so then we don't accept Rabbi Meir. Then for sure we follow Rov, so we're not pure Rabbi Meir people. So the answer to the question is, do we pass like Rabbi Meir, do we pass the Chacham? It depends on what level you're talking about. So on the level of the Raisa, for sure we pass like the Chachamim. On the level of the Rabbanan, we accept half of Rabbi Meir. We accept what was according to Rabbi Meir, the Araisa, we accept the Rabbanan. When Rabbi Meir helps us on the Rabbanan, we reject the entire list. That seems to be, at least according to the words of Rabbi Meir.
Something happy, something happy, something
happy, we know for sure it's important. Never, maybe even know. No, we knew once a female is born, we know it is now, its rechem is potentially Makadosh or Bechor rechem. No, we know what it was yesterday. We know you want it. It's a chazak shon esbar b'shaita. Like my cousin Chulin about, but if you don't know the chazak until later, that's a little bit different than this. Even though we don't really accept Rabbi Meir, for sure not a level of deraisa, and even midirabanan, in the absence of a chazaka, we don't really chayshish, we're not really chayshish from miyud. Rishonim write there's an exception to that rule, that sometimes we are chayshish from miyud, and that's what's called the halacha miyud hamatzui. This is the Rishonim, the beginning of Maseches Chulin, draw the following distinction, that the Gemara tells us that rov behemasar ain't on trade, as we spoke about this earlier on. So therefore the halacha is that when I shecht an animal, I don't have to start opening up the animal and start checking its stomach and its head and its heart to make sure there are no holes and no problems. We assume that most probably the rov is that it doesn't have any simen trepas in it. Nevertheless, it would appear from the Gemara that one is required to check the lungs of an animal. So why is one required to check the lungs of an animal? So the Rishonim explained in the beginning of Maseches Chulin that the lungs are different because there's a better chance of there being a problem. That's what's called the Mir HaMotzui. So therefore, the Pashas is mostly poskim out. Therefore, Midirabanan, the Chachamim instituted, since it's a pretty significant level of miyud, even though on a level of their eyes there's no difference, because the eyes it's a miyud, it's a miyud, but since on a level of Dirabanan, the Chachamim misakon, it's a Mir HaMotzui, so one would be required to check. Right, that's right. So it's usually assumed 10% is the cutoff point, whatever that means. However you calculate 10%, this man has a different story. And that's what's usually considered to be the cutoff point. This is important for other areas of Allah also, that we paskin that Amir HaMotz, you have to be Chayshishva, Amir She'en HaMotz, you don't have to be Chayshishva. This is relevant to a lot of areas of Allah. This is part of the whole discussion about how much one has to check vegetables for bugs. So at what point do we say that we have to be Chayshish, maybe there's a bug in the vegetable? At what point do we say that most probably there is no bug in the vegetable? So it's the same cloud that if there's less than Amir HaMotz chance of there being a bug, a person's not mechuyav to worry, then maybe a 1 in 100 chances there's a bug, that's not my problem. I'm allowed to rely on rov, the same way I don't check the behemoth for trepas. But once it reaches the point of Amir HaMotzui, so then one would be required to check. So as one can already guess, you can have a lot of different variations as to, you know, it's a hot call. You know, what's considered to be a 10% chance? How do you calculate this? Does it follow each particular, each plate
full, each serving doesn't follow each band, doesn't follow each carin. Okay, so you can have a lot of interesting machloksim in the contemporary poskim, how this rule plays out lemaisa v'zmanazeh in terms of both. But the basic yisod is really there already from the sugya, from the rishon, the beginning of maseches. You have this in other areas of halach also, let's say, in the area of shatnas you have this, that the question always becomes, if this person merely mechut to check every single suit that he has for shatnas, so it probably depends on the same thing, that there are certain suits that the manufacturers, the shatnas experts will tell you, that there's such a minuscule chance of there ever being a chance of shatnas found in those suits, so then you could probably not even mechut to check altogether. Whereas if you have other suits which are a little bit higher quality, so then that's already a nira matzoi, so then of course one would be required to check. So again, it's not always so easy to
usually the
shatnas
checkers themselves.
Huh?
Once you produce a list, usually the shatnas checkers.
Right, so they usually have a good. No, they usually have a good sense. I mean, if a guy's honest, he's not trying to make a buck. We hope that they're honest people who check on shatnas. I remember once I was asking a shatnas check about a certain garment. It's embarrassing to say, but I thought it was my own garment. So I asked him about this particular garment, whether there was any linen in it. So he looks at it and he says, there's no linen, there's no wool in it either. So those who are thinking about garments, that's not such a good compliment to say there's no wool in it. Anyway. Okay, so we've given a little bit of a overview in terms of roles and chazokas and how to relate to one another. I wanted just to begin at least the mashu of the next topic. And after we move on in terms of different klolim that the Torah gives us, how to deal with tzveikus. That was the theme of the entire summer. What do you do when in doubt? What do you do? So now, after we spoke about chazokas and roles, so now we move on to what's considered to be, in a certain sense, the highest level of biror, and that's shnei eidim. The Torah says, "Api shnei eidim yakum davar." We're learning the second machus. We probably bumped into that pasuk once or twice this year. So Api shnei eidim, the Torah says that shnei eidim is gevaldik. Shnei eidim works in those areas even where rove doesn't work. Let's say in dinim mamonis, but shnei eidim you can be mitzi mamon. Shnei eidim you can ask nishal abayim. Shnei eidim you can do dinim nefashis. So shnei eidim is mamash the greatest possible birur. So when you have shnei eidim, basically everything else falls by the wayside. It's not a suffix. Everything is gevaldik. There is a very, very interesting comment of the Rambam that appears of all places in Huchas Yisrael HaTorah. One never would have... So I was wondering who was the first person to pick up this Bekirs, who discovered this Rambam and made it popular in the yeshivas. So there's a Rambam in Huchas Yisrael HaTorah where the Rambam is not even talking about Huchas Eidus, he's talking about that of Novi. And the Rambam just gives us a marshal. He says that he says, we have to listen to Eidim. Two Eidim come and say that they saw Reuben kill Shimon. So the Rambam says, not that we really know for sure that Reuben killed Shimon. We don't really know. But the Torah says, "Ki kein lazer tayo, fish tay mirim yakum davar." It's like the Navi tells you something, you have to listen to him. Can I say with adults that I know that the Navi is mamshe Navi Emes? I follow the klolim, whatever the hukas Navi Emes are. So we meet the criteria of Navi Emes, the nalach is, that I have to listen to what he's saying. Does it mean that I know with 100% certainty? Maybe and maybe no. But the Rambam gives a strange mashal shnei eidim. So all the Echorim jump in this Rambam, the Rambam sounds like, wow, shnei eidim is not really a birur. Shnei eidim is only a din hanhaga. It's like robe and chazaka. It's very hard to understand what that concept means. If not for that Rambam, no, I don't think anyone would have ever said such a thing. That shnei eidim means that the Torah says, if you believe that the Torah is valid, there's no suffering anymore, there's no latest of suffering anymore, and that's it. Api shnei eidim yakum davar. So the mice, no matter how you slice it, when you have shnei eidim, so of course that carries the day. The Gemara has in the third paragraph of Masechet Kedushin that there are really two very, very different types of roles of eidim in halacha. That there's eidus what's called eidus labir adover, and there's eidus what's called eidus lakiyum adover. So eidus labir adover, kishmai kenu, that the purpose of the eidim is just to ascertain the facts, that the eidim are not creating anything new, the eidim are not necessary in order to create any chalos, any change of status or anything. The eidim's role is just to be mevara. What happens? And the Gemara says that's the case in dinei mamonos. So dinei mamonos, if Reuben borrowed $100 from Shimon, Reuben is chayef to Shimon whether they're eidim or not. If Reuben doesn't pay back Shimon, so Reuben's a problem. Well, let's say if I break somebody's window, so I'm chayav to pay you the money whether I get in the middle of the night and somebody saw me or didn't see me. So the chiyuv is there. The eidim aren't creating the chiyuv. The eidim are just coming to Beis and giving Beis the information. The Beis can now enforce the chiyuv that's already there. So that's posher that in many, many cases, most cases of dinei mamonos. So the role of the eidim is just levara or milsa. In contrast to in the realm of the davar shebi'erva, the realm of kedushin and gittin, the Gemara says that everything is different. When it comes to kedushin and gittin, so the role of the eidim is twofold. So number one, the role of the eidim is also the biru milsa. Let's say, for example, We have a child. We have a latest assumption whether this woman is an Eish Zish or not. So how are we ever going to prove whether she's an Eish Zish? The answer is, so you have to have Eidim. So two Eidim come and say they were at the wedding 20 years ago. They remember the she was Bekudesh, yes? So those Eidim are serving as the Torah's Eidim the Bira Milsa. So the Gemara has a Chiddushim, it says Kedushin, that the role of Eidim at a Chasana is not just Levara Milsa, but the role of Eidim at a Chasana is Lekayim Dover as well. The Kiyuma Milsa, Eidim is the Kiyuma Dover. What does that mean? So let's say you have a situation where a man gives a ring to a woman, he says, around the Kudashas, and there are no Eidim around. And now the next day they walk into Beis Din, and the man says, I gave her a ring, Lashem Kedushin, and the woman says, I accepted her, Lashem Kedushin. So he asked them, where are the Eidim? And said, there were no Eidim. So the Gemara says, Ein Chayshin the Kedushin. So that's not considered to be Kedushin Bechlau. Why? So the Gemara is a Chiddush Gadol over here, that the role of the Eidim when it comes to Kedushin is not just to be Mevara that the woman is an Eish Zish, but the role is that just creates the Chalos of Eish Zish. Just as you need a Chosan, you need a Kala, and you need a ring. So you need Eidim. Without Eidim, so the Kedushin doesn't get off the ground. That's a very, very different type of Eidim. Now, it could be that the same Eidim may be wearing two hats. That the same Eidim who were at the Chasana, who were the Eidim Tavas HaKukah, who were the Eidim the Kima Dava, so in 10 years from now, they may be called in to be made Levara Dava. So the woman in the interim was Mezana. So we want to know if she's Chayav Mitzvah or not. So we got to dig up Eidim to go see whether she was Mezana or not. So you're going to bring in those Eidim who 10 years ago, they were Eidim the Kima Dava. They never in a million years thought they'd ever be called into Beis Din. And now they're going to serve as Eidim the Kima Dava. So Eidim Kedushin really are, in a sense, twofold. Let's say, Baruch Hashem, over the years, I was going to be Eidim Kedushin many, many times. Could I necessarily now go and be made in Beis Din for all those? I don't remember what was made Eidim Kedushin for 20 years ago. So those weddings that I don't remember that I was made Kedushin for, I can never be accepted to Beis Din right now as an Eidim Lebira Dava. But it doesn't matter. But as long as Mishas Maisa, at the time of the Kedushin, I knew what was going on. So for that second, I understood what was happening. In theory, I could be called in as an Eidim a second later. So that's called the Eidim Lekiyum HaDavar. That would be good enough. So very often, Eidim Kedushin wear both hats. But the Eidim Didimamunus, the Didimamunus is purely Eidim Lebira HaDavar. Yeah, you may have certain dimensions in Eidim Mamunus that may also have a little bit of a snap in Eidim Lekiyum HaDavar. There's a Machlekes of Rishonim about Kinyan Chalipin. Most Kinyanim that you make, so don't need Eidim. If the Bali Dover agree, I say I'm giving you, I'm doing Havva on your object, and you're masking, and nobody's arguing, nobody's fighting. So you don't need Eidim Lekiyum as a dog. It's not called the Kinyan Havva without Eidim. So that's true by all Kinyanim, with the possible exception of Chalipin. Now, that special Kinyan Suda, I give you a handkerchief, and in exchange, you give me a whole house or something, so that Kinyan Suda, so some Rishonim wrote the opinion that you require Mamish Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar. So the Rabbi writes like that, and Taisus quotes such a shit like that also, and then Taisus quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, who held that it's not true. That there is no halacha, you don't really require Eidim. Some say there's a possibility in the Gil Surah, there's also Te'uda Lu Yisrael. So some say there's also Te'uda means a Lash Eidus, like the Rabbi Shita. But again, whether or not that's true by Chalipin, that's the Yaitzim. We're not letting kill this Chalipin right now, but as a general rule, Gideon Mamunus don't require Eidus Lekiyum HaDavar. It's because of this difference that Eidus for Kedushin and Gittin is so fundamentally different than Eidus for Gideon Mamunus that the principle of Haldos Daldin, Kidei Eidim Dami, appears in Hilchos Mamunus and doesn't appear in Hilchos Kedushin. If a person walks into the basin and says, I broke the window, so he has to pay, even in the absence of Eidim. If I walk into the basin and I say, I borrowed $1,000 from you, there are no Eidim, I have to pay, because Haldos Daldin, Kidei Eidim Dami. When I admit that I owe you money, unbelieved more than 100 Eidim. If I walk at the Beis Din and I say that I was Mekadosh a woman and she agrees she was Mekadosh, that's garnish, that's meaningless unless there are Eidim who are present. So hopefully we have to show the next year. We'll try to continue on with this halacha about those about Din Kimei Eidim Dabi, how this plays out in terms of some of the things.